This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It's the 21st of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson with the news today. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, the value of grain bin safety training in a real-world situation, and a USDA undersecretary with experience who will return in the new administration. It's bitter cold across the Hoosier State, and HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says we will come off of the lows soon. The markets closed yesterday. We're joined anyway by market analyst John Zanker on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
Indiana firefighters saving the life of a farmer trapped inside of a grain bin just days after they had the training. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, many times when you hear about a farmer who has been trapped inside of a grain bin, the outcome is often tragic. However, last Wednesday, the Fountain Town Fire Department in Shelby County was called to a farm to rescue a farmer trapped inside of a grain bin. And thankfully, this story not only has a very happy ending, it also involves a great deal of coincidence.
The timing of everything was really crazy, honestly, the fact that we'd just done this training.
And that's Claire Gray, public information officer and a volunteer with the Fountain Town Fire Department. She and her fellow firefighters had just completed grain bin rescue training in Seymour just days before the incident.
They talked about how people would get calls during their class to go do a rescue, and I thought, wow, that's probably not going to happen. But another thing that helped with the timing was the fact that the farmer that was in the grain bin was practicing good technique, and they made sure that they had somebody out there with them to call 911 as soon as they realized they were trapped, which is something that is so important to emphasize to farmers getting in grain bins.
Dean Tyner is chief of the Fountain Town Fire Department. In addition to his team getting the training just days earlier, he says that a grain bin rescue tube had already been donated to his department by Bungie in Morristown to use for such an emergency.
We put up the grain bin rescue tube that we have on our truck, and we got it in to the bin and around the gentleman that was trapped. And shortly after we acquired the access to get him in and get everything around him, we used some other equipment from various other departments that showed up and were able to get him freed. The gentleman refused any medical treatment, didn't want to go to the hospital, and walked away from the incident, which is pretty spectacular.
Chief Tyner says both the training and having the grain bin rescue tube have been invaluable.
It's not the first one I've been on. We've had another one a few years ago, and it was the same situation, and the gentleman walked away from that one as well. So if I don't ever do another one, at least I've had two, and the outcome has been good.
He says he's proud of the efforts of his team and other nearby departments to save that farmer's life.
It's always nice to be able to save somebody, and especially when it's something like that, that you know the majority of the outcomes are never good. And when you can change that and make it a positive outcome, you're pretty proud of everybody.
Gray recommends that all Indiana fire departments put a plan into place to respond to grain bin entrapment calls.
At the very least, if you can't get your hands on the equipment or the training, at least come up with a plan to be able to get those resources in place once you get that call.
You can see photos from that grain bin rescue and read more at HoosierAgToday.com.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
A familiar name to the ag industry has been appointed to head back to USDA as an undersecretary. Sabrina Halverson has more.
Going back to Washington, going back to USDA to work on behalf of America's farmers and ranchers, it's very humbling.
Richard Fordyce has been appointed as the Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, marking his return to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Fordyce, a Missouri farmer, previously served in the Trump administration as the administrator of the Farm Service Agency. He says the landscape of agriculture and farm policy has changed in the past 4 years, so he plans to assess the current challenges and opportunities before setting specific goals.
Back in the first Trump administration, Secretary Perdue did a little bit of realigning with the mission areas and actually added an agency to what we call now Farm Production and Conservation. So the mission area consists of the Farm Service Agency and everything that that entails, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and the Risk Management Agency, which is charged with everything related to crop insurance and that side of risk management.
For now, he says, he remains focused on preparing for his confirmation hearing and looks forward to serving American farmers and ranchers once again.
Ready to get going. First off, will be a confirmation hearing with the Senate, and so anxious to visit with those national leaders. We'll get that scheduled and get started, and then, excited to get started all together.
I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's bitterly cold out there. That should not be a surprise. We've been talking about it. I think today is the coldest day, or it's going to be doggone close to where we were yesterday. The coldest part of this air mass bottomed out over eastern parts of Iowa, southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois overnight this past night. And it's going to be moving this way. Once we get on the backside of this cold high-pressure dome, we start to see a little bit of south wind develop, and that will help our temperatures come up just a bit. Now, we're not looking at brutally warm temperatures. Brutally warm. Listen to me. Not looking at warm temperatures here overall, but we are coming off of the lows. I think we save our big temperature moderation push until we get into this weekend and especially early next week. Now, late week, again, the forecast is pretty boring. We're dry. We're getting decent sunshine here, but maybe some clouds around off and on Thursday with a few flurries here and there. We'll watch that. And we have another chance at some flurry activity over the weekend, Sunday night into Monday, with a clipper system trying to move through the Great Lakes. Outside of that, no major precipitation. The temperatures the end of this week and weekend aren't as cold as what we're dealing with right now. They're not warm by any stretch. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, we start to see some significant moderation. And by the end of next week, we are warm everywhere. Just in time to flip the calendar from January into February. It's going to be warm enough that our next weather system, likely from the second into the third, is going to be rain and maybe a little bit of wet snow, but mostly rain. And it's going to be a fairly significant rain event if it holds together as advertised right now. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. Bundle up here for another day and a half or so. Then we maybe can get back to normal activities. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Monday Farm Market Review. The markets, though, closed for the Martin Luther King holiday. It was, of course, Inauguration Day as well. I'm Andy Eubank. On Monday morning, I did speak with John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities to get some thoughts from him on recent moves in the markets. Markets on Friday bounced back from a Thursday sell-off, John, so we did see some bouncing around, some choppy trade during the course of trade last week. What did you make of that as we take a quick look back?
Well, we got a little taste of what might lie ahead or what will probably lie ahead, and maybe very soon, as early as tomorrow maybe. But there was some hope on Friday that with President Xi of China talking to President Trump that maybe there wouldn't be a rush to get some tariffs on, and maybe something good was going to come out of this before something bad. So we had a nice rally, and there were some signs on the extended maps Friday that Argentina was not going to be quite as wet as it was looking earlier in the week. Now, just a quick glance here this weekend and again this morning, looks like that forecast has turned back a little bit to the wet side, so we'll see how that holds on through the evening hours. But I just think there's some optimism with trade and optimism with China, and we'll see how that all plays out. I think there's going to be a lot of executive orders signed today, but I don't think there's going to be anything relating to tariffs. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that and hope that we can keep this bounce from Friday going a little bit deeper into this week.
And as we look at corn in particular, just for some numbers to confirm what you're talking about, March corn up to 484 and a quarter, May 493. So we're creeping a little closer to $5. Maybe it's too optimistic that we might get there, but some fairly nice levels compared to where those contracts had been.
Well, I think most of us were doubting that we would see those numbers without a pretty severe weather situation developing in South America. But that USDA report a week ago on Friday, it sure did shake things up. Now we have a carryout of $1.54 billion that we can work with. It's not on its own going to give us $6 corn. But, I wouldn't be shocked here to see the May or July contract hit the $5 mark if we can keep that weather scare going in Argentina. And up to this point, we've been saying, hey, it's early. They really haven't lost a bushel of production yet, so it was all about what might happen. But it's been hot, and it's been dry in a lot of that area. And the northern areas of Argentina, they're pushing late June now. And we can certainly see some yield loss here in years where we've had a long stretch of the hot and dry. So we'll start changing our tune a little bit from potential yield losses to actual yield losses. So those rains need to show up, and they need to show up pretty quick now.
John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. The number there, 866-837-9027. Markets back with a full day of trade on Tuesday. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.